And we're going to return back to chapter number 14, Revelation chapter 14, just for a minute today. I want to cover something that we didn't cover when we were in chapter 14. And we're going to look just at Revelation 14 and verse number 11. Revelation 14, 11. Bible says there, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Heavenly Father, this morning again, we pray that you would show us the importance to appreciate the importance of our salvation, and to show us the importance of our witness here in this world. Make hell real to us today, we pray, Lord, that we might see the souls as poor souls on their way to hell if we don't do something. And so, Lord, we ask you to give us alertness, attention today as we look at this matter of the torments of hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, the joy of the believer we discussed on Monday, hopefully you remember that, and we discussed that great cloud filling the dwelling place, and God was praised, and God was magnified, and God was glorified by all those that know him. And yet we know that the Bible is a book of light and dark, of day and night, of good and evil, of Christ and Satan, of heaven and hell. In the classical literature, that's what you call dualism. There's a balance in the Word of God. And if you're all heaven, well, you're out of balance. If you're all hell, you're out of balance. But God in his Word tells us of that place of rejoicing for those of us who know the Lord, and that place, the Scripture says, of torment for those that know him not. Now, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, torture is suffering that is inflicted from without, from the outside. But torment is pain and suffering that's inflicted from within. If you die and go to hell, hey, you won't need the devil to torture you. Just the realization that you did not have to be there, that will torment you. If you go to hell, you won't need unclean spirits and boogeymen and monsters to punish you. The awareness that Jesus Christ died to get you out of that place, and that all you had to do is call upon his name and be delivered, and that you were so proud and so self-righteous that you refused a free pass out of hell and into heaven, well, the Bible says you will be tormented. That is, punished from within, from your own thoughts, from your own conscience, forever and forever and forever. Look in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter number 8. You say, well, I don't believe that God would do a thing like this. Well, then you have less faith. I'm going to show you. You have less faith than a devil. You say, I don't believe that God would ever send a man or woman to a place of eternal torments. Then you have less trust in the Word of God than an unclean spirit. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 23. Verse 23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." Okay, and then they have this terrible storm. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. They obey him. Look at verse 28. "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So here's a wild man. He's wild, he's out of control. Men are afraid to go into that part of the country because of the devils that possess this man. Verse 29, and behold, they cried out. Okay, they, not the man, but the devils that possessed the man. They cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? So I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, look there. You have less faith than devils. You say, I don't believe Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Then you're worse off spiritually than a fallen angel or an unclean spirit. Every one of them know exactly who he is, and they confess it with their mouth. And watch what they say. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So you know what these beings know? These beings who once enjoyed fellowship with their Maker? You know what these beings know who once observed his glory and his majesty? Do you know what these creatures know who once beheld the Lord in his power and in his might say, let there be light, and there was light? He put the sun in the place. They saw him put the moon in place, put the stars in place, create the earth and all that therein is. You know what these beings know? I mean, they don't wonder about it. They don't argue about it. They don't debate it. They know that in a future day, they are going to be tormented by the Lord. The Lord against whom they rebelled, and the Lord whom they rejected in their heart. We say, I don't believe God will do that. Then you have less confidence in the Bible than Satan. Not much to brag about there. Okay, look in Mark chapter 5. Monday, we saw, as God gripped our hearts, we saw our great need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We saw how that a group of men that had already received the Spirit, who had already been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, did not do so until the Spirit filled them and compelled them. Now, why would the Holy Spirit fill men? Think about this now. Why would the Holy Spirit fill men and then move men and compel men and then empower men to go out and engage in an activity that would surely get them jailed, get them beaten, or stoned, or whipped, or even martyred? Why would God put his blood-bought, redeemed people in situations like that if it were not absolutely necessary? If people die like a dog, as they say, and they just rot in the ground, why send Paul to a Philippian jail to get his back all torn up with a whip? If men keep getting reincarnated until they get it right and everybody eventually ends up in heaven, why did Stephen get his brains knocked out? Why is old John exiled out on the Isle of Patmos, dying of starvation in a cave? If God loves everybody and he's going to take everybody to heaven no matter what they do with Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any sense for the Holy Spirit to send God's blood-bought children out into a wicked world to be tortured and killed if it's for no reason at all. If everybody's going to heaven anyway, or if they don't go to heaven, it doesn't matter because there's no punishment on the other side. Well, then what's the point? If that was the case, that would make God a sadistic monster. And I'm not being blasphemous as I say that. I'm saying if you say there's no hell, if you say there's no torment, if you say there's no punishment for the Christ rejecter, well, what a wicked God to send his children out to die for nothing. For nothing. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he warned them that they'd be persecuted, warned them that they would be jailed, warned them that they would suffer, warned them that they would die. Then why send them out to do that if there's no urgency? See, the danger of having a good church, good Christian friends, good fellowship, is that all we want to do is just enjoy the good church and the good friends and the good Christian fellowship and forget that this, the church house is a place to get recharged. The fellowship together is where we go to encourage one another to get back out there and do what we're supposed to be doing. Church is where we come apart from the work of preaching the gospel to encourage one another to keep doing that work so we can get back out there and do it some more. Because the whole world is not going to church. And the whole world is not going to heaven. The whole world is going to hell. You say, well, I don't think we ought to preach hell. It's negative. It bothers people. I'll bet you if we took a show of hands this morning and one by one each of you testified, we wouldn't find one person here who would say they got saved because they loved Jesus and they wanted to go to heaven. Now you love him. Now you want to go to heaven. But every one of you, you got saved because you loved you. And you didn't want to go to hell. You didn't love the Lord before you got saved. All you loved was yourself. And then when somebody said, your little old self was going to burn like cheap bacon, you said, oh no, not me. How can I get saved? You didn't care if the streets in heaven were tin or bronze or dirt. You just didn't want to burn in hell. Now that's why people get saved. Then once they're saved, then they don't want to preach on hell because it might offend somebody. That's crazy, man. I tell you, in our lifetime, nobody's seen more people saved than Oliver Green. And Oliver Green was the last nationwide preacher, who would preach hell. I mean, you think about that. Think about all the nationally known names in our day, whether it's Falwell or McGee, go right down the list. They didn't preach hell. Dobson, certainly not. Osteen, no way. They're not preaching hell. They're preaching God loves you. God wants to take you to heaven. Won't you decide to go to heaven? And you say, well, not if there's no consequences for not deciding that. But I want you to see there are consequences. That's what we're looking at today. Look in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And verse number 5. Here is another fella. He's got a devil. They put chains on him. He breaks the chains. They can't hold this man. Verse number 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Look at that. Pretty religious fella, isn't he? He's got a devil, but the devil knows who deserves worship. Verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. It's a company, many, a host, an army, if you will, a legion. You've heard of the Roman legion, the French foreign legion. Here's a legion of unclean spirits. And they believed that one day Jesus Christ, whom they knew to be the Son of the Most High God, would torment them. If you don't believe that, again, you've got less religion than an unclean, filthy spirit. A pornographic, abominable, homosexual, murdering, lying, Christ-hating, unclean spirit, bound for the pit of hell, believes in a future torment for the unbeliever. And you say, well, I'm a pretty good man, but I don't believe that. How dare you say you're a good man? And you think less of Jesus Christ than the devils do. How dare you say you're a pretty good person, and the devils, the unclean spirits, said, we believe you're telling the truth, and yet you call him a liar. You're not a good person, can't be a good person, not calling the Holy One of Israel a liar. Look in Luke chapter 8. And we'll start at verse number 26, Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house. So he's just kind of like a bullfrog hopping around from pond to pond, lily pad to lily pad. But in the tombs, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. You see, now, Brother Bob, I think the Bible contradicts itself, because in Matthew we had one set of words, and in Mark we had one set of words, and in Luke we have one set of words. And so that proves all three of these writers, they're just trying to remember the best they can, using the oral tradition. No, you infidel, he had a legion of devils in him, and every one of them is crying out. And one said one thing, one said another, one said something else, but every one of them, without exception, knew that Jesus Christ was going to torment them in a future day. And they just wanted to put it off as long as they could. Well, what a horrible testimony that is. You say, boy, those devils, man, they don't have any sense. They know they're going to hell, but they just figure, well, just as long as it's not today, so that's all right. Just don't throw us in there today. Just don't do it today and it'll be all right. See, man, they're crazy. I agree. They're crazy. And some of you, I don't know who you are, only God knows, but some of you are deceived by those very same devils, because you know if you die without trusting Jesus Christ, you will go to hell and you're going to burn in hell. And you're not interested in getting saved today. You're just holding out and saying, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, someday, maybe one day before I die, as long as I don't go to hell today. Now, I don't want to get saved today, but I don't want to go to hell today. I just want to kind of stay put. Well, that's how devils talk. You've seen that. That's how unclean spirits talk. That's how fallen angels talk. They didn't say, Jesus, save us from hell. They just said, oh, don't put us there today. Let us run around a little longer. Let us live it up a little longer. Let us carry on a little bit longer. Let us hang out in the graveyard a little longer. See, they didn't want the Lord to have mercy on them, and they didn't want to go to hell. They just wanted to keep doing what they were doing. You know why people wake up in hell in torments? Again, not torture, but in torments. Because they're going to look back and think about all the times they said, I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not in all that big a hurry to get to heaven either. I think I'll just stay like I am. And so for millions and millions and millions and millions of years, you will recall the sermons that you heard, the Christians that you worked with, the gospel tracts that you turned down, the altar calls that you refused to respond to, and you will not be tortured. No, you'll be tormented with the realization that you let the devil deceive you into staying put instead of coming to Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter number 16. Now the poor Jehovah's Witnesses say that this passage is a parable. When Ezekiel preached about hell to his people, the people of his day, do you know what they said to each other? They said, "Oh, doth he not speak in parables?" See, so there were JWs back then, didn't believe God. But the Bible says in Luke 16, starting in verse number 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died." All right, so what happens to poor people? They die. And notice that there's an "and" to death. He died and. Okay, he didn't die period, he died and. So you don't die period, you die and. You see that? He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Okay, so what happens to rich people? They die. Poor people die and rich people die. Now look, the rich man also died and. Notice, death didn't end things for the believer or the unbeliever. Some teach the believer dies and goes to heaven, but that the unbeliever dies and is annihilated, completely destroyed. Non-existent. or they'll teach that the unbeliever dies and is just forgotten, or the unbeliever dies and just wastes away and that's it. But the Bible says they both die and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, look at it, being in torments. He's not just in hell, but he's also in torments. "And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham." So notice, first of all, he knew Father Abraham. "Have mercy on me." Notice there, he knew mercy. Now it's bad enough to wake up in hellfire, but to wake up in hellfire having known Abraham, the father of the faithful, and having known about mercy. What torment? What torment that is. He said, "And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." What's the torment? Has he forgotten about life on earth? No. There's no water in hell, but he remembers water. There's no drink, he remembers drink. There's no refreshment, but he remembers refreshment. There's no quenching of his thirst, but he remembers quenching of thirst. See, he's being tormented by the remembrance of all the good things that he now must do without forever and ever. Verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you can not. Neither can they pass to us, that would come from thence. Some religions teach you burn for a little while with the Christ rejectors, but then you get out and you get to pass over and join the Christ acceptors. What did Jesus Christ say in the Holy Bible? Once you enter that place of burning, burning torment, you can never leave that place and join the believers. Don't let a religious devil deceive you. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. He remembers what? Family. He remembers what? He remembers someone carrying the message. He remembers what? Someone telling a person what they need to hear so that they can believe it and escape. He said, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If God today were to let us speak to someone who is actually being tormented in hell, if the Bible's true, you know what they would do? They would ask us to go tell their family members about hell. They would ask us to go warn their loved ones about that place of torment that awaits them. You say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's the decision you'll have to make. The rich man in hell wanted somebody. Notice he didn't say one word to Abraham about sending somebody to tell his brothers about heaven. He didn't say one word about, go tell my brothers about the mansions and the streets of gold. He said, go warn my brothers about this place. Tell them where I am and tell them not to come here. There must be something in that man's memory about a man who believes, telling a man who doesn't believe, and warning him about a place called hell. What torment that is. What torment. Notice there's no water. Revelation 14:11, we read that it is a place of smoke. In Revelation 14:10, we read that it was a place of brimstone. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you talk to a chemist, they will tell you that brimstone is an element, sulfur, that does not burn. If it is molten, the thermal burn depends on the temperature. If it gets too hot and burns with flame, it vaporizes to sulfur dioxide, which is a deadly poisonous gas. So the best I can understand this fire and brimstone, burning brimstone, is that just as surely as those of us who are saved are continually enjoying everlasting life, those who are lost and who are in hell, they are continually dying. It's just death, 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 death. Well, what characterizes the unsaved man more than anything else? He fears death. He fears death. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hell is a place of flaming fire without water. It's a place of smoke. It's a place of brimstone. It is a place of unending, constant fear. I don't want to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. I don't feel like witnessing to a lot of people. I don't feel like talking to a lot of people. Many times I don't want to live my life in the realm and in the midst of the mindset of evangelism. this is what happens to people who are not saved. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. There are creatures in the pit, horrible creatures. Revelation 9 tells of their being loosed upon the earth. And Revelation chapter 9, verse 5 says this, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." I can't comprehend this, not all of it. I can't grasp all this, but the creatures in hell will so terrify you that you fear that you're going to die. And that ceaseless terror, it's going to be so bad that you'll want to die just so that it will end. But you can't die, and it doesn't end. Imagine every frightful, every cruel, every terrible, every painful thing that has ever happened to you, all striking you at the same time. And then striking and striking and striking and striking and striking and never ends. Nobody can put hell into words. Nobody can tell it and convince men how bad it is going to be. I'll tell you one thing, when you get through reading these verses, you realize it's not about religion. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about what denomination you were raised in. Are you saved? Do you know for certain that you're not a Baptist or a Presbyterian or an Episcopalian or a Pentecostal or a Catholic or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a New Ager? Do you know for certain today that Jesus Christ has saved your soul from sin? I'm telling you, it's either that or hell. It's not about arguing who's got the best church. Look at Revelation chapter 20. And verse number 10. Revelation 20, verse number 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Part of me wants to just close this message and say, I wish this wasn't in the Bible. It's horrible. It's horrible. I wish this wasn't in the Bible. And yet, before I can speak those words, the Spirit of God says to my heart, are you willing to allow the murderers of the Son of God to go unpunished? That wasn't a man dying on that cross. That was the blessed, holy Son of Almighty God, and he died to save our souls from sin. But if you scorn him, if you reject him, and you think that your little old good deeds are better than his blood pouring out of that blessed body on that cross, I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will burn you forever. Not because he doesn't love you. He loved you so much he gave his Son to die for you. But if you reject that love, you will live forever without that love. If you reject that grace, that mercy, that kindness, then forever you will be without grace, you'll be without mercy, and you'll be without kindness. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad to be part of a church that isn't afraid to tell this world, yeah, what it does not want to hear, but what it needs so badly to hear. The wages of sin is death. That death is burning, conscious torment in a place called hell. If you don't believe in that place, you got less faith in the Word of God than Satan himself. If you don't acknowledge that truth, you've got less confidence in the Bible than the unclean spirits. And if you and I don't tell this world the issues of life and death and heaven and hell, how will we answer to this rich man when his five brothers end up with him in that place of torment? And they tell him that nobody warned us. Nobody warned me. I believe today that the fear of hell had a part in motivating every one of us who is saved to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Politely, graciously, lovingly, but without apology, we need to preach hell. We need to speak of hell. We need to warn men to flee from the wrath to come. I mean, aren't you glad somebody warned you? Aren't you glad somebody told you? So if you're with us today and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe you belong to this church, you belong to another church, you're a pretty good person, never done this, never done that. The Bible didn't say one word about that rich man killing anybody, stealing from anybody, cussing anybody. He just didn't trust the Lord, and he woke up in hell. So if you're here today and you've never been saved, I know for certain every saved person here with us is going to be praying for you. Nobody here would be laughing at you. Nobody here would ever say, oh, look at that guy, he fell for it. Oh, no. Everybody here that's saved and on their way to heaven, one day in their life, they stepped out from a place of lost and condemned, and they came and said, I want Jesus for my very own. And they took him as their Savior. If you've never been saved, give me a call. You got my number. Send me a message. Just let me know, even if you're just not sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Just say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I know that I don't want to go to hell. I know I don't want to go to hell. And I tell you what, I'll do my very best to show you the way to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for again for giving us the push that we need to open our mouths and preach the whole Bible, not just the parts that are comfortable. Lord, it's not fun reading about people suffering and being in torments of hell, but Lord, help us to remember that that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't warn people. Father, help us not to just rest on our own salvation, knowing that we're going to heaven, but to care. Give us a sincere care for the souls that we are surrounded by each and every day, and help us to have opportunities or to make opportunities to speak to those people openly about what your holy scriptures have shown us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.